It's Monday, January 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in snowy Washington. Coming up, the United States seeks to ease diplomatic tensions in the Middle East. U.S. lawmakers consider a massive energy bill.
The new leadership in Laos is more of the same in terms also of the repression and constraints.
Laos has a leadership change, or does it? Also ahead, scientific children's books and American music pioneer remembered. It's all on today's International Edition. The United States is seeking to reassure Saudi Arabia and other Gulf allies in light of developments suggesting a warming of relations between the U.S. and Iran. Secretary of State John Kerry met with Saudi officials and other members of the Gulf Cooperation Council in Riyadh on Saturday. VOA State Department correspondent Pam Dawkins is traveling with Secretary Kerry and joins us with more.
Secretary Kerry's visit to Riyadh comes on the heels of implementation of the Iran nuclear plan, a prisoner swap that freed five Americans from Iran, and a flurry of diplomatic activity that resulted in the release of 10 U.S. sailors detained by Iran. Some say these overtures have left U.S. ally Saudi Arabia jittery.
This bothers Saudi Arabia because they don't trust Iran and they feel that Iran is up to no good in the region.
But as they sat almost shoulder to shoulder in Riyadh, the Saudi foreign minister gave no indication of a rift with the U.S. over Iran.
No, I don't see a coming together of the United States and Iran.
Kerry said the U.S. stood firm with Saudi Arabia and its other Gulf allies.
There is no doubt whatsoever in the minds of the countries that make up the GCC that the United States, as we have said many times, will stand with them against any external threat.
In spite of these assurances, Gulf countries could have broader concerns about U.S. policy, say analysts.
It's a bit too little too late for Secretary Kerry. We have been signaling to the Gulfies for a long time that we are getting out of the game in the Middle East. And that effectively, once we get out, that it's every man for himself.
But he says Kerry can work to prevent Saudi Arabia and other Gulf allies from exacerbating tensions in the region. Pam Dawkins, VOA News, Riyadh.
Well, it's time for us to check out what's happening in social media. And to do that, we don't have to go too far from our studios today. The sound of snowball fighting. A lot of people from Washington to New York are enjoying a huge snowfall that arrived Friday and Saturday. And, of course, it included those snowball fights, of which our own Michael Lippin is quite familiar with. Michael, hello.
Hi, Jim. I'm familiar because I actually organize these things.
We'll blame you. It's pretty exciting, though. A big turnout today.
We did, yeah. I organized the snowball fight of the Washington, D.C. Snowball Fight Association. It's a thing. It's a Facebook page. And we had hundreds of people turn out to DuPont Circle Park, which is one of the really popular parks in Northwest Washington. And not only do we have lots of cheers and yells and screams, we even had a DJ playing.
All right, we are here with Julius Snell, also known as DJ Josh, right?
Yeah, DJ Josh.
You brought the music again.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thanks so much for doing this, man.
Yeah, I need to come down here.
Right, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm just having a party here in D.C. right now. Walked down from Adams Morgan. I'm going to DJ at the Dew Drop-In on Friday the 29th. So come down to Brookland if you're around.
All right, and then this is what we got going on right here. All right, Julius, thanks so much for bringing the music again for the second year in a row. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much fun, Jim.
Well, this really illustrates the power of social media, though, Michael, because you've organized this online and so many people got together because of what was posted.
Exactly, yeah. You know, we use Facebook to mobilize these kinds of get-togethers for snowball fights. We have this Facebook page called the DCSFA, the DC Snowball Fight Association, and then we create an event through that page. And, you know, when you time that event with a big snowfall, people just gravitate to that so quickly. It spreads like wildfire because people will tag their friends. They'll say they'll invite their friends. And we had something like 3,000 RSVPs to this event today. About, maybe 500 people or so turned out because there was no Metro Underground train service today. So people really had to walk there.
Well, exciting. And if you're online, you can check it out and see what happened. You can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael_Lippin. You can also follow our International Edition page at VOA_IE. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Jim.
This is VOA.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA's International Edition. Energy, of course, is very crucial in dealing with a massive snowstorm that we have here in Washington, and it also happens to be the topic before members of Congress, that is, whenever they're able to get back into town and resume work. But in the office today is VOA Senate correspondent Michael Bowman, who joins us here in the studio.
Well, Jim, miracle of miracles, you and I both made it into work.
How about that? That's more than we can say for members of Capitol Hill who I'm sure are getting a nice day off.
Well, in fact, Congress always takes the weekends off unless there is some budget crisis which forces them to go into 24-hour mode. But in fact, the House of Representatives has announced that all of its votes for this coming week are canceled, which means that many members won't bother to come back to Washington for a full week. The Senate has yet to update its schedule. They could follow suit. Right now, it looks like the Senate is going to come in to schedule on Tuesday. But nevertheless, here we have this major snowstorm. Washington has been paralyzed for 48 hours in a physical sense. Although, as someone who covers Congress, I would say that Washington has been paralyzed for years and years.
You have to cut them a little slack in this case. It is quite an unusual weather event here.
And people don't often realize there are certain lawmakers who come from a place like Alaska or a place like Hawaii, and getting to and from Washington takes the better part of a day. When the Senate does come back, whether it is this week or whether they postpone it, and this is actually quite interesting in terms of timing, is a major energy bill. It's a bill that would reform America's energy sector. And it will bring out a lot of debate on global warming. And coming on the heels of this blizzard, I think the timing is just perfect.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we also have going on now a world oil glut. It raises the question of, well, if you have all this oil and you use all this oil, are you contributing to global warming? They have a lot of interesting facets in this argument.
Absolutely. There is a thought that low gas prices, that is bad for global warming, that in fact encourages the burning of fossil fuels. Anytime that anything is cheap, it makes it more readily usable. With Iran being unfrozen and able to enter that market, with U.S. production up, and with certain OPEC countries like Saudi Arabia actually boosting their production in response to all of that in an attempt to sort of undercut the competition, there is indeed an oil glut. The energy bill that's before the Senate is a true rarity in Washington. It has genuine bipartisan support. It will go to the Senate floor. This is a bill that seeks to do a number of things. It has goodies for both parties. It would facilitate the export of U.S. natural gas. Now, this comes on the heels of the United States ending its ban on the export of oil. Now we could have a sort of easier pathway to export U.S. natural gas. It would also try to promote the mining and the extracting of strategic minerals. But it would also attempt to strengthen the requirements for energy efficiency in commercial buildings, in government buildings, and do other things that are high on the list of priorities for Democrats. And it's thought that if this bipartisan coalition can hold together, this has a real chance of passing the Senate. It would have to go to the House of Representatives, and no one really knows what would happen there. And no one knows if President Obama would ultimately sign this. And who knows? There could be hope for some bipartisan accomplishment at the beginning of 2016.
We look forward to it. It will take some energy to get Washington back and running as usual, and always full of energy is our VOA Senate correspondent Michael Bowman, who expended quite a bit of energy to get into the office today. Thank you for your efforts, and thanks for being here, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
The Lao Communist Party has undergone a change in leadership during its 10th Party Congress, signaling the country's future direction as it prepares to chair the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. As Ron Corbin reports for VOA from Bangkok, the move came just ahead of a visit to Laos by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who arrived there late Sunday.
The week-long Lao Communist Party Congress was marked by the election of the 78-year-old party veteran, Bunhang Vorachit, as the new Secretary General. Bunhang has long-standing ties with Vietnam, dating back to military training and as a student. He succeeded Chumalai Sayason, who had been in the post for 10 years. State media said nearly 700 delegates representing the more than 200,000 party members attended the five-day Congress in Vientiane, the 10th Congress since the Communist Party came to power in 1975. The Congress, coming just ahead of an official visit to Laos by Secretary of State Kerry, was also highlighted by promotion of the Foreign Affairs Minister, Thongloan Sisulit, to the post of Prime Minister. Diplomatic sources in Vientiane told VOA Thongloan has been a long-standing advocate of rebuilding bilateral ties with the US. But Titanan Ponsudorak, a political scientist at Chulalongkorn University, stresses that overall policy is unlikely to change under the new leadership and the government will continue to face criticism over its human rights record.
The new leadership in Laos is more of the same. More of the same in terms also of the repression and constraints on civil society and basic freedoms. We have had some scandals in the recent past over disappearances of civil society activists and human rights violations. So that is expected to be maintained.
Analysts say the retirement of two pro-China Politburo members may also weaken Beijing's growing influence. China has been Laos's largest foreign investor, followed by Vietnam and Thailand. Deputy Prime Minister Somsavat Lengsavad, during the Congress, said the party's goal was to see Laos shed its least developed country status by 2020 and further alleviate poverty. Carl Thayer, a defence analyst at the University of New South Wales, says Laos will have to balance its international diplomacy, with the country taking over chairmanship of ASEAN and hosting major world leaders, including President Barack Obama, in the coming year.
Obama is going to visit the region in May, particularly to Vietnam. He's setting up in the last bit of the year where American diplomacy can go with Laos as chair and to try to keep it on an independent and neutral course rather than leaning towards China, which some people argue would be the case.
Analysts say by chairing ASEAN, Laos will be under the international spotlight as the Communist Party looks to balance ties between China and Vietnam, as well as focusing on economic growth. Ron Corbin for VOA News, Bangkok, Thailand.
You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, and on my program Jazz America, I carry on the tradition begun decades ago by the great Willis Conover by exploring the wonders of a century of jazz history. I'll cover it all from Dixieland to swing to bebop to modal, free jazz, fusion, world jazz, contemporary, and beyond. Plus, you'll hear the words of the artists themselves as they tell their incredible stories. Join me for Jazz America, Saturdays and Sundays at 13 hours Universal Time, online at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
Difficult language in scientific papers is part of the reason science can seem so incomprehensible. But now a marine biologist is making her research more accessible by turning it into a series of children's books. As Faiza El-Masri tells us, her second goal is to raise awareness about marine and environmental conservation. Faith Lapidus narrates.
Danielle Dixon spent almost 2 years in Fiji doing her postdoctoral research, investigating the deterioration of coral reefs.
A number of the reefs are converting from being, you know, these beautiful coral reef systems that have a lot of holes for animals to hide in, into reefs that the coral's degrading and collapsing, and then there's not as much hiding spaces for fishes and things like that. So I was trying to figure out how these transitions from healthy coral reefs to kind of degraded coral reefs are impacting the behavior of the fishes that live in those two areas.
Early on in her research, the University of Delaware assistant professor decided to get local people involved in her work.
I was living actually in the village with some of the locals. It was a lot easier to get research done if they understood what I was doing and how it would help them. And one of the ways that I was able to connect with the adults was I'd make these videos for them, and then I started making the children's books for the kids so that they'd have a better idea of why I was there, so that when I asked them not to walk through the baby pools I was using for experiments or something like that, that would actually happen.
When Dixon came back to the U.S., she decided to start doing the same thing for children in this country.
I just don't really think kids should be left out of it, and I thought that storybooks would probably be one of the easiest ways to sort of captivate them and have them understand.
That idea has turned into 9 books.
One of my books is on how the tiny goby saves its home.
The story about the little fish was based on one of Dixon's studies.
So I was interested to see if, since the goby lives in the coral and that's really its home, it should have a vested interest in protecting its home. And we found out that the corals actually can chemically communicate with the goby to tell it, like, come help me, I'm hurt right here.
Professor Danielle Dixon is collaborating with her students and the school's education and English departments to finish this project and get the series published. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Fans of the rock group The Eagles are mourning the death of co-founding member Glenn Frey, who died last week at age 67. Glenn Frey, along with Don Henley, were the heart of the Eagles. Their songwriting and talent helped create the most popular American group of the rock era. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald joins us with more.
Glenn Frey passed away in a New York City hospital at age 67. He suffered from rheumatoid arthritis for more than 15 years, according to his friend and manager, Irving Azoff. He was also suffering from colitis and pneumonia. Irving Azoff says the medication may be partly to blame for these additional ailments that he was suffering from. Glenn Frey was born in Detroit. He moved out to Southern California in the late 60s. And in 1971, he co-founded the Eagles with his friend, drummer from Texas named Don Henley. They had been working with Linda Ronstadt. They had this idea that they were going to form this country rock band, called themselves the Eagles. Right from their first hit, Take It Easy, which Glenn Frey co-wrote with Jackson Browne, they were an enormous hit.
Take it easy.
What always strikes me as interesting about the Eagles is that even though they are the most popular American rock band who ever existed, they sold over 150 million records, they were not well liked within the musical community, or what you might call the rock establishment. They had a running battle going between themselves and Rolling Stone magazine. Rolling Stone thought they were too corporate. The Eagles always saw themselves as a business model. They were not ashamed of the fact that they were a money-making operation. And this was back in the early 1970s. The prevailing mood was very anti-materialistic. Mm. And then as you get into the late 70s, the Hotel California era, The punks despise the Eagles for being bloated dinosaurs. So the Eagles got it from all sides, but the public just kept on lapping them up.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown.
It broke up in 1980. Henley and Fry both had successful solo careers. Glenn Fry even had an acting career. He appeared in Miami Vice. He was in Wise Guy, a couple movies. He had some successful solo singles. Then the Eagles got back together in 1994, and they titled their album Hell Freezes Over, proving that they had a sense of humor. And they continued to be a very, very successful touring act right up into the 21st century. So they were a very durable band. They become part of the fabric of American culture. And Glenn Frey will certainly be missed.
He had been suffering with these illnesses for some time, and we don't realize this as fans necessarily, that these artists are going through this because they're continuing to be out front and performing. David Bowie, another example.
This is being brought home to us in 2016. The past few weeks have been really difficult because Lemmy of Motorhead died of cancer at 70. Bowie managed to keep his cancer very much secret. And yeah, Glenn Frey also was a long-term sufferer, and you're right, the fans didn't know.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Ray McDonald, the host of VOA's Top 20 Countdown. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Jim.
I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down.
You've been listening to International Edition. You can always find us at our website, voanews.com, and we invite you to follow us on Twitter, our handle at @VOA_IE. Well, when the snow is roughly at your knees or higher, you have to thank the warriors who made it in, our director Tracy Carter and engineer Jackson Witt. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington, still digging out. We're going to have a great day. We hope you have one, too.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In recognition of the deepening partnership between the United States and the Lao People's Democratic Republic, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Daniel R. Russell visited the Lao PDR on December 17 and 18. Addressing the Institute of Foreign Affairs, Assistant Secretary Russell told a capacity audience that we are writing a new chapter in relations between Laos and the U.S., between our governments and our people. This partnership on issues vital to both our nations spans inclusive economic growth, health, education, and environmental protection. He pointed to visits planned for later this year of President Barack Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry as opportunities to push the relationship to a higher level. We've revitalized our relations with the Lao People's Democratic Republic, culminating in President Obama's visit less than a year away. Assistant Secretary Russell also met with Deputy Prime Minister H.E. Dr. Thonglun Sisulit to discuss the growing bilateral relationship and U.S. support for the Lao PDR in preparation for the ASEAN meetings in 2016, including the ASEAN Summit and the East Asia Summit. In addition, Assistant Secretary Russell met with Minister of Health H.E. Dr. Xivang Vonchivit to further advance our cooperation and assistance to the Lao health sector. He also met with Vice Foreign Ministers Mr. Alunkio Kitikun and Sangfit Hungbunyang, as well as Chair of Party External Relations Committee Dr. Sontun Sayachat. To conclude his visit, Assistant Secretary of State Russell participated in a traditional bocce ceremony in honor of the recent graduates of the U.S. government's English Access Program, which provides 2 years of free English classes and life skills training to disadvantaged youth in Vientiane. Through his interactions with the students, he observed firsthand the impact of English education. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Laos, to strengthen ties that benefit both nations, the Asia-Pacific region, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.